Blog Talk Radio.
Steve Austin, astronaut, a man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darryl, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Good afternoon, folks. This is the Grindhouse. My apologies to our captain. I left him on Rigel 4 because my system was having problems and everything corrected itself as we were going on air. So I see that he's on board. Again, my apologies. We'll get to him in a moment. I see that, that of course, the invincible Daryl B is also in the house. And, folks, we have a lot to get into. So let's go to a quick – let's make this an urban alternative groove. Next week we'll do more nerdcore music. This week, urban alternative, going throughout the two-hour broadcast. First up, this is new by – no, you know what? I'll save that for later because I'm a big fan of Janelle Monáe. I'll save her for later. Let's go to Sociolibrium BQE. BQE by Sociolibrium. This is Bernie – the legendary artist Bernie Worrell's outfit. We'll be back in a few moments, and again, let's groove. Okay, folks, once again, that's a side project by the great Bernie Worrell, Sociolibrium, and that cut, of course, is called the BQE, giving you the best of urban alternative music. Folks, this is the Grindhouse edition of After Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. First up, of course, is the Comic Shop Show, and I could not do the show without any kind of efficacy without our own podcast enterprise crew. First up, we have the captain. Captain, come on aboard. And my apologies to you, sir. Literally, I was getting ready to call you, and then 10 seconds remaining. So I'm glad you had the foresight to just call on in anyway. And, of course, we have the invincible Daryl B.
Thanks for the reminder. I have to pick up that bionic man versus bionic a woman trade in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yes. I've been buying that, actually, as a regular thing. You know, is Kevin Smith behind that, Daryl? I think.
I believe he helped the plot. It's playing off a plot of his. I don't know who wrote it, but I have to pick it up. Oh, I have to also pick up the second Buck Rogers trade too. So, you know, I got a long list. I can't just stop with March. You know, I got to keep on going.
Listen, I want to bounce around a couple of things, gentlemen. I don't want it to be so regimented. I had intended, honestly, to see the Riddick movie, but something prevented me from checking it out. I don't know. I'll get around to it, but I really had intended to see it. I know Fandango might have had problems because I tried for a couple of hours to purchase tickets on Fandango. I said, something's telling me not to go to this thing. So before we get into any discussions on Vin Diesel's latest effort, something I have been failing to actually address. The CV Nation project. This is season 2. Daryl, you know anything about this? It's this YouTube series. It seems to be a minority-based superhero web-only series. What do you know about CV Nation?
I've checked it out. In the week you brought it up in our behind the scenes, someone pointed me out to it after hearing one of my rants online. And all I have to say is, Dwayne Copeland, thank you. Just thank you for at least being taking my advice to heart and doing what I wanted to see done. You know, here is a mostly black, mostly minority superhero series. And they do it, and there's a lot of superhero tropes in there, yes, a lot of familiar tropes. But, you know, they try to stay away from stereotypes and they're making it, and it's intelligent. And folks, just check it out on YouTube. Just look up CV Nation. Hey, it's proof of what I'm saying. We don't all have to be pimps. We don't all have to be criminals. We don't all have to be drug dealers. We all don't have to be stuck in a Tyler Perry movie. You know, we can do more than that. We are more than that. Back to you,
FNR. Yeah, you know, I was impressed by it, and I'll tell you why. Something came to my attention, Daryl. I don't know how I forgot about this, but, you know, we talk about these issues on AfroNerd mostly, but we also touch on them on the Comic Shop. And I think we're forgetting. I think someone has to take an actual record of just how much minstrelsy is out here, how much stereotyping is out here, and how long it has actually lasted. Because, you know, we're talking about Oscar nods for African Americans, and it always seems to harp on subservience. We could talk about Hattie McDowell being the first African American to win an Academy Award, which was an accomplishment, but it was for playing a maid in 1939 in Gone with the Wind. And she actually won the award in 1940. And that is to be applauded because it was a stepping stone, even though it was a stereotype. That's all black folk were allowed to do 70 years ago. But when you talk about, again, 70 years ago, Daryl, you talk about The Help coming in, a year ago, 2 years ago. You talk about The Butler, which appears to be getting all of this praise and monies. And I forgot about Driving Miss Daisy, which came out, 89 or 90, Driving Miss Daisy also got an Academy Award. I believe Jessica Tandy received an Academy Award for that. And it was definitely something that was heavily touted at the time. But when are black folks going to stop playing these subservient roles? So I really appreciate, I'm not saying that CV Nation, again, folks, that C as in Charles, V as in Victor, CB Nation is any great work like Othello, but it's fairly passable. I appreciate the effort, and you can tell people are trying. They are sincerely trying to pursue other than stereotypical roles. Now, if they took that as a base and expanded it more, it really, I don't know if you picked up on this, but it's more or less Dwayne McDuffie's Dakota City realized, I think.
Yeah. And in the first three episodes of it, and each episode on YouTube, folks, runs from 8 minutes, 30 seconds to like 15, I think is their longest. They do more in those three episodes, the first three episodes of the series. They do more to make it an expanded universe than DC or Warner Brothers ever has done in Batman, Superman, and in theaters. I will say that. I will say that right there, right out loud. And for this series, look, Rosario Dawson, she's done it, all right? Felicia Day, she's done it. Sanctuary has done it. Taking a property that they started out as a web series and pitched it to folks like Sci-Fi, to folks like Lifetime. Black Entertainment Television, yo, BET, TV One, take a look at this, all right? And you don't have to give it a full episode treatment. You could do this similar to how Adult Swim does their live action shows on Thursday. Make it a 10, 15 minute, give it that type of block, late night. Do something like that. Have it establish a fan base. Think outside the box. Here is black original programming skewed to the black sci-fi set. Do that. Think outside the box. But you know what? I'm dreaming. Hey, Cap, give me the realities.
The reality is that they'll say black people don't do sci-fi, but we all know that's BS. We all know that's BS, boy. We wouldn't be here if that was the case. It seems like with this, it would be really interesting to see, you know, with a little bit more money, where they could go with this. It's definitely plausible at this given time. It looks decent. As the great Afro-Nerd said, there's no big, you know, shitting at this given point, but it's definitely decent. There's been a lot worse things that you could look at out there on YouTube that you say, what are these guys doing? It's terrible. This is not the case. This is definitely decent. It would be interesting, you know, if they can build a very huge following via the net and then get some money behind this and see where it goes. You know, it would be rather interesting just to see, you know, see what happens. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, before we go to the next topic, you know, there's a couple of things going on here, too, even technologically, gentlemen. You think about George Reeves in Superman in the 1950s, and because of the limitations of the budget and of the time, you know, we look at this stuff fondly. I mean, actually, really, TV or movies at that time, you look at the stuff fondly. You know, they didn't have computers to the degree that we have them now. A computer back in those times would have been the size of a building, as opposed to putting it in your pocket. You know, like a smart, you know, your smartphone today has more power than a computer, let's say, circa 1960. But what a person can do, the average citizen, the average Joe can do and put on online, is even more impressive than what happened in the 1950s. I mean, some of the things that we saw in this YouTube series, they do have some special effects, but of course it's low grade. But my question, the question remains, when will the technology catch up to where a person can do certain things that's on par with a studio or close? I mean, listen, matter of fact, I've seen some things where folks are trying to get gigs. I believe that we might have spoken about it. It was a gentleman that was from, I believe, Brazil, some South American country. And he was able to get a Hollywood contract because he had some kind of display where he showed robots destroying a city. And it looked like his other Latin compatriots' work in Pacific Rim, Guillermo del Toro. But this guy did it on a budget, and it was able to garner him a studio gig because it looked pretty real. And I believe the cost was very minimal. So you wonder just what can people do, with enough insight and with enough technology online, aside from what the major studios are doing. Darryl, what do you think about that? Do you think we will see a time where we might see some really mind blowing stuff on the internet tip?
Hey, you've already started to see it. I brought up Sanctuary. Sanctuary's budget was not that big, folks, compared to other sci-fi, series and stuff like that. They did most of their stuff on green screen or blue screen. I forget which one we're in now. Green screen. So they did that, and they had some exotic locales and stuff that you had to look really hard, especially after sci-fi put money behind it, to tell if it'll blue screen, green screen effects and everything. You know, if you get the support, the tech is out there, There's people that are using innovations all the time. One I like to bring up is, I know you guys have to have seen it. There was a Street Fighter fan movie that they made with Ken and Ryu fighting in the forest. And I'd be damned if it didn't look like they were doing the fiery moves and stuff. And it was on point. The hits, the everything. We're not talking Last Dragon effects and people out there who, and I know everybody that's listened to this show has seen Last Dragon or something. We're not talking that type of visual effects. We're talking like A-list movie effects with the Hayukins. And, but I digress. I said it on the show. I'll say it here again. If you can put your mind to it and you have the resources, if you have a computer and a computer program and folks behind you that are dedicated, like Dwayne Copeland's CB Nation actors are here, you could tell they're all fans that have all experienced some sort of sci-fi, but they also are serious about making this work, And, hey, I applaud them for it because it's been awesome to watch. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
All right. Something we need to talk about that's really a budding controversy. This deal with the Batwoman comic book. Now, from my understanding, ladies and gentlemen, there's a fairly popular Batwoman comic that's out, courtesy of DC, and it's, I guess, a rebooted version of Batwoman. There have been several Batwomen for the last 60 years, and this one, they did a twist on it where she is of an alternative lifestyle. She's a lesbian, so that makes things a bit bubbly, a bit interesting, and the creators of the present creators of this particular book, they butted heads with management because they wanted to see the storyline move along. They wanted to push the storyline further. She has a lover or a partner, and they wanted to go into a storyline where that partner, where they married, where the two women would get married. DC put the kibosh on that, so the creative team left. So now, we're in different times now. I don't know if, when this word gets out with the LGBT community, what does that, or just people who are just more open-minded, more quote-unquote progressive, where they want to see more depictions. Now, I say this much all the time. I know that I'm pretty sure the team agrees with me, is as black folk, people of color, we have our own protected class designation. And I would like to see the fervor toward people of color when things don't go down a certain way, or the representation isn't there, that we start to react. I don't really see it. It seems like we just shrug our shoulders and there's nothing here. Let's move along. I think something's going to come out of this now. People are quitting. People are rather abrupt about it. If we don't get our way, we're going to do something. There's a price to pay, I don't see black folk, brown folk necessarily reacting the same way that they need to be reacting, the way that the lesbian and gay community, the way that they're doing it when it comes to how they perceive their representation. Darryl, open this up a little bit. What are your thoughts about what's going on here? Do you agree with it? Do you think – now, DC does have its rebuttal to this. What do you think's going on here?
I look at it is I don't think this was a discriminatory thing. It'll shock people. I don't think it was. The problem here is timing, all right? And in the timing of this, right, zero year, DC's putting right after this whole foolishness with Forever Evil, we'll get to, all right, they're planning to have all of their books revolve around the zero-year event that's been happening in Batman under Scott Snyder, okay? Now, the thing is, if you've been reading Batwoman, I do off and on. Uh-oh. Hello?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay. Sorry, I dropped for a second. Technology.
No,
there it goes.
We hear you. All right. We hear you.
All right. So the thing is, J.H. Williams III and his co-conspirator, right, they've had their plans for the Batwoman series laid in. They have a year's worth of stories already laid in. No one approached them about what zero year is happening. So they had a whole thing planned out where they were continuing the current storyline. They were going to get into giving an origin for the new 52 Killer Croc. They were going to do a lot of stuff which would culminate in the wedding of Batwoman, Kate Kane. Is it Kate Kane? I think it's Kate Kane and her lover. Of course, DC goes, no. And like DC's been under a rock, or their editors go, no, we're not doing this. Do they look outside? Have they read any news? They didn't think once that this might be perceived by the LGBT crowd as, okay, this might be a little discriminatory. I don't think this was a move saying, oh, they're going to do a lesbian marriage. We can't do this. But I do think the higher-ups were not wise in, like, negotiating with J.H. Williams saying, we'll let you do your story. Just make space for us to tell a zero-year tale here, you know? They gave him the ultimatum, and J.H. Williams III went, you know, like, I see your ultimatum, I'm walking out the door. But, you know, this isn't new, all right? See Mr. Rosman with Static Shock. See George Perez with Superman. See Rob Liefeld, of all people, over with the books he was doing. DC, since they've done the new 52 thing, creative control over a property that's owned by them is next to nil. You either get in line or you get out. And J.H. Williams III got out. Back to you, Alpha Nerd.
Yeah, it seems like DC is, more so than ever. I mean, there's always been criticism levied toward the major two, DC and Marvel. But now I'm hearing more within the last 3 or 4 months levied toward DC, with the whole corporate headbutting, where you have these, because, you know, you're dealing with a creative sort. When you're dealing with a creative group of people, there's always going to be problems or conflict with corporate status or corporate rules, corporate regulations. And now, in all fairness for DC, from my understanding, they were saying that they really do not want, conventional hookups across the board. Like, in other words, they want this Wonder Woman, Superman thing to kind of be this new era for a relationship as opposed to Lois Lane and Superman. I mean, the whole thing is to completely divest itself from the pre-52 not lineage, storylines, mythology. So they're trying to say, hey, we really don't want anyone to get married. So, you know, that comes off somewhat fair. I mean, they have their own plans. The creators have their own plans. But there's an agenda here. I mean, there's an agenda. I'm going to raise my conservative hand here to normalize this. And, you know, listen, I'm an avid comic book reader. So, I mean, this is the reality of the day. However, whatever I may say or feel is irrelevant. I mean, listen, I support people doing whatever they want to do. I guess my only issue is that we can't seem to get the same kind of leverage when it comes to our own protected class. It seems like there's more of a concerted effort. People are angry. People are willing to lose gigs. They're willing to go to bat for gay representation. But when it comes down to black representation, you can hear a tumbleweed. You can hear a pin drop. So, you know, we saw, you know, it's more scary than ever, the fact that our own Dwayne McDuffie is no longer with us. Of course, folks, you can go to the archives. We were fortunate enough to interview him. But it seems like he was the only one really going to the carpet for this. And whereas the other groups seem to have a number of people who are willing to do what they have to do. When it comes to the black folks, No one's willing to go to the carpet. Captain, what are your thoughts on this conflict between the creators and the corporate structure?
Well, just as you mentioned, throughout the history, throughout the inception of these companies, the creators, the corporate structure, they have bumped heads, and they will continue to bump heads. That's just the nature of that business. That's just essentially what happens, you know. You create something, and someone at the top says, hey, listen, this is how it's going to go down, you know. And then the creator starts to posture a bit himself, and the corporate entity says, hey, wait a minute now, you know. Look now. And then the creator either gets back down or he does what this person does. They ran out the door. That's what you do. That's just the nature of the business from that standpoint. Now, as far as getting representation, as far as we're concerned, black people, I mean, it's a little bit difficult because of the mentality a lot of times, not just on the other side, but also with black people in general. Every man for himself, and that's it. You know, if you can't get the man across the street to put the garbage where it's supposed to be, you know, you're not going to be able to get the person on the other side of the street to be able to do the same. You have to get like minds together. So really, we're not really like-minded. The only time we're really like-minded is when it's time to go to a club or organize for a party. But other than that, we're not really like-minded, you know, to tell you the truth. So that's essentially our problem in a nutshell when it comes to this type of thing. So getting representation for us is going to be rather difficult unless there's more of us, from the Dwayne McDuffie standpoint, working in the same building, thinking the same way, and then linking up. So that's what needs to take place. Back over to you, Sir Afroner.
Yeah, I have to concur with you on that one. I just want things to change. I want to see the same level of verve given toward black projects that we see. I mean, wasn't there, Daryl, a womanthology thing that came out a few months ago? I mean, you know,
yes,
you have women's
yes.
issues. The women are coming
There's
up
been
on this
several
now.
Of them.
You know, we're going to talk about and after the musical break. We're going to talk about Katie Sackhoff, Battlestar Galactica's Katie Sackhoff, and Longmire. I believe she's on Longmire as well. I like her. I don't know if she would be a fit for Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel. That's what they're talking about now. I mean, now everyone's just letting it all hang out. If they get a talk with Marvel, this is a whole new world we have to talk about. The fact that all these actors and actresses, it's almost... I don't know. I guess they feel like the money truck is coming once you get hooked up with Marvel. You know,
yeah.
They don't want to wait. They don't want to wait it out and see, you know, to play it cool. As soon as they'll tell you if they get a call from Marvel. I mean, it's all the studios that give them calls. But why is Marvel? You know what I mean? I mean, if listen, I believe she works at TNT. you know, the Turner Network. I think it's TNT. One of those
AMC.
Cable networks. Is AMC, Longmire's an AMC? You sure about that?
I think Longmire's AMC.
All right. These are reputable companies. She's not telling, you know, yelling to the rooftops, hey, AMC called me up. You know, but when Marvel calls up, you know, we don't know what the circumstances were, but you've got to tell everybody, hey, Marvel contacted me. I don't know. I don't know if that's a good move. You know, there might have been something going.
Didn't Vin Diesel do that himself before he had that meeting? She's just doing what Vin Diesel did, except not just Twitter. Someone came out and asked her the question, and she went, yeah, I've been. And it's not like we haven't linked Katie Sackhoff to other sci-fi properties. But I will say this. That's her getting her name out there, too, as a matter of public record. And you know what? Marvel likes this because what is this doing? Even if or if not she gets the role, the spotlight's on the Captain Marvel film now, too.
I think in general, he was just saying that Apple was just saying in general, not just her. Not just her, in general, when these actors just get all crazy when Marvel. I think that's what he was talking about.
It's less about her. It's just the fact that all these actors and actresses are getting calls, hopefully, getting calls from studios, maybe even on par with Marvel. But Marvel has, I guess what I'm saying is, it's a two-sided thing. Marvel has become so big. Like, we forget Marvel was a bankrupt institution. No more than a decade ago. I had stock in Marvel when it was bankrupt. You know, I didn't keep it. But when it was Marvel Entertainment before, it wasn't worth 2 cents, literally. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's on board. And this all started with Blade. But Marvel has, they're not going to mention that. That's what I'm talking about. You know, well, we'll get to it, gentlemen. I got more to talk about on this one. Let's go to another quick guru. Again, folks, we normally play Nerdcore for the comic shop. This time around, we're going to stick with the Urban Alternative Groove going into the 7 o'clock Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk show. So this is something from the Black Rock Coalition, actually. I'm going to stay with the Black Rock thing. This is Red T Model Ford by Phthalo Blue. Red T Model Ford by Phthalo Blue. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove. Hopefully, let's groove. Okay, here we go.
Smoking my pipe, double vision. Please tell me why I'm so numb. I'll be meeting you soon.
You know, folks, I tried to come up with the applause for something. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Finally, Phthalo Blue performing Red T Model Ford. Folks, this is a different show, if you didn't suspect. If you're expected to hear T.I. or Meek Mill, this is not the place to come to. Or you want to hear J. Cole, you're not going to hear it here. I suspect Daryl B. knows what I'm talking about. I'm putting minstrels on notice. Your day is over. This is the new black right now. I'm sorry. I'm playing the rock stuff. And these are black rock musicians. And I play all types of music from all perspectives, but I'm emphasizing it because we have to debunk these stereotypes. So I know this is the comic shop. It sounds like an Afro-nerd rant. I don't care. Funk metal, folks. Phthalo Blue, Red T, Model Ford. All right. Folks, feel free to jump on in. The water is warm. It's not too, you know, we don't bite much. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Before the break, we were talking about actually Katie Sackhoff receiving a call or in talks with Marvel. So there's a whole bunch of speculation going on now with assuming that she might be up for a Captain Marvel or slash Ms. Marvel role, which I guess would be, well, that's not, she really wouldn't be like the Marvel equivalent of Wonder Woman, but maybe a Power Girl maybe would be a better analogy. Daryl, what do you think?
The main Marvel female, I've always maintained the main Marvel female superhero was Storm, and then followed by Wasp, Invisible Woman. I'll put Captain Marvel in the top five. You know what? I take that back. The main Marvel female superhero is She-Hulk. She-Hulk is the one that's crossed over. That's the one that male fans, they're not embarrassed to pick up a She-Hulk book and go, you know what? And shout out to Dan Slott's She-Hulk series. Between Dan Slott and John Byrne in the 90s, She-Hulk gained a sizable portion. So She-Hulk would be Marvel's Wonder Woman. But Captain Marvel's definitely in the top five. And I will say the past 10 years, past 15 years, starting out with the work Kurt Busiek did with her in Avengers after Heroes Reborn, to various minis that Kelly Day Sukonic did, or Kelly Sue DeConnick did, and even Brian Michael Bendis, and what they've done with the character has raised her profile up. So she's definitely top five. I would say even cracking my top three right now. So, hey, you know what? A big-time female superhero where they don't want to tamper with the concept. Ha-ha, DC, Warner Brothers, looking at you for Catwoman. Halle Berry in the suit, that's great. Divorcing her from all the Batman mythos, bad move, real bad move. But, you know, hey, I could watch a Captain Marvel movie. No problem. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
Can I say something?
Yeah, I always thought that the actress Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck, I always thought that she was in line for being Ms. Marvel, or that her name was out there more. I mean, she's not hard on the eyes. I kind of thought she might be a little bit more, you know, she has that cachet with Dexter now also. You know, but she's a kind of a different type. You know, we see that Katie Sackhoff is not afraid to get her hands dirty. So I don't know. You know, she's more of an action babe, maybe.
Hey, both of them are action babes, you know. And with Captain Marvel, to put her across, you know, you're going to need her with lots of action. And hell, I got your Captain Marvel movie right here in my mind. You know, you could introduce the shield element of the sword in it with Abigail Brand and all that. Have it be a brood invasion of Earth or a ship coming, and you get that cross alien type dynamic with Captain Marvel, and you get plenty of chances to show why this female superhero character is cool. That's all I'm saying. Hey, Cap, you want to say something?
Well, along those lines, I think at this juncture of time, they need to stick with what's working. So, you know, you have the Black Widow character. She's known now due to the Avengers and everything else. You would probably, if you're going to drop a movie, because a lot of times the general public, not the geeks and the nerds now, the general public, you say, you know, Captain Marvel, what have you, like that, Miss Marvel, what have you, they might not necessarily know. And that's always a factor. Something such as Wonder Woman, DC, it's built in the newest sphere. That helps tremendously. It doesn't work all the time, but it helps tremendously. So it would be wise that you take someone like Black Widow and maybe you add in a Scarlet Witch and then, boom, you team it up and you drop it in that manner, something along that lines. And then you bring out a Miss, you know, Miss Marvel. Something like that would probably work better. I'm just saying. I wouldn't necessarily drop it just straight cold because you don't want a situation like a Ghost Rider, you know, because no one really didn't know who Ghost Rider was. The geeks know. Don't jump down my throat. Everyone turn around and say, "There, you know, I know who Ghost Rider is." But, the, you know, the general public doesn't know who Ghost Rider was. And, of course, the movies were bad, too. You know, so you don't ever want those situations because you're dealing with $100 million budgets. It's not like they're throwing $40 million or $30 million and saying putting this out there. They're dealing with big budgets. So from that aspect, it has to be right as far as the promotion and the marketing. The public has to know who this character is. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, Marvel has done very well. It's because it's the build up and also the brand Marvel within itself is also well known. So that also helps. That's just what I just wanted to say. Back over to you, sir, Afro Nerd.
Well, wait, even to jump over that, they've been saying for a long time, yo, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be relevant. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be relevant.
Yes.
Have one of the episodes, not this season, maybe next season. Use this season to build up the characters.
Yes.
But next season, introduce Carol Danvers. Have an accident involving an alien tech or something like that, which imbues her with powers. Maybe not on the show, but you have her so that she has the accident. Everything looks fine. Have her be a secondary in, like, a Black Widow or S.H.I.E.L.D. movie, and then the powers just grow or come out under exertion or whatever. You will have every geek in the crowd of that movie theater go, "Wow! Yo, I gotta go back and check out that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show," you know, or do something like that. Or they'll be telling their friends, "Yo, you know that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show you were dissing? Hey, it's relevant, son, it's relevant," you know? I'm just saying, if they're thinking like we're thinking and laying down plans, and you know Josh Whedon is the king of laying down plans and subplots that will come up later, and he's been saying that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is relevant. Captain Marvel movie. You could start laying the tracks down now. Back to you, Afro.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking, listen, anytime you talk about what Marvel has done thus far, the genius of Marvel, is this whole linkage program. You know, when we saw Tony Stark appear in the Hulk, was it the Hulk? Yeah, and was it the Hulk? Yeah, he was in the Hulk. You know, you saw what they're not afraid to. You know, if it's within the Marvel Entertainment property, they can do it. And I think that if they go from what happens on TV, like Daryl says, I mean, literally have a Carol Danvers. Again, for the listening audience, Carol Danvers is the secret identity, or not so secret identity, of Ms. Marvel slash Captain Marvel. That it not really show her having any powers, but show that accident. And then go to her, the same actress in the movie installment where you see it, where you're able to have the actual full fruition of the character, where you're able to see the actual power set, but it started from TV. You'll have constant viewership because you have to look at the S.H.I.E.L.D. Series in order to see what's going to happen on the silver screen. And I don't see how they're going to avoid that. Because I'm assuming that S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be in Avengers 2 and 3 in some kind of way, or in some other Marvel. I mean, any other Marvel properties going forward, there's always going to be a chance that S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be there. If they do that, that means that there's going to have to be a tie-in from what happens on TV, from the small screen to the silver screen. I don't see how that's unavoidable.
And even in their international trailers, I think the site is Cult Box, Cult as in Cult Box at UK. They've been showing the trailers that of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for what they're going to show on BBC One, and they start out with Iron Man, and Captain America, and they use the phrase, the story doesn't just stop at the film, folks, or something like that. So they are playing it up, at least on the international trailers, like, hey, yeah, we're all connected, so hey, Josh, if you guys want to do this Captain Marvel one, listen to us. We got your game plan. Go, Cap.
No, back to Afflener. Back to Afflener.
Yeah, all right, listen, let's go to something else, actually. I want to talk about, well, good luck to Katie Sacco, by the way, if something happens. I just know that I was a little disturbed with how easy people were comfortable in there being a female franchise, and I heard other folks saying, what the hell is going on with Black Panther? We always come back to the same thing. Everyone jumps the line instead of the black guy. I'm just saying.
Crazy.
You know? It's ridiculous. Like, they're afraid. Somehow, I always go back to this. Django made $500 million. Somehow, the genius of Quentin Tarantino is that he made slavery palatable for multiracial audiences and was able to garner almost $500 million for it. So you mean to tell me you can't have a black superhero film? I mean, there's this belief. I know what's really going on. What's really going on is they feel like they're not going to be able to sell this thing. I think Lou Esposito was the Marvel head that made this offhand remark, making it seem as if, well, you know, the logistics of making something about Africa and you know, it basically saying it would be difficult to put that on screen. But you made Asgard out of nothing. Asgard doesn't exist. Africa does exist. I mean, how, you know, we've seen sci-fi low-budget TV shows that were able to put together fake kingdoms. I mean, they do it every week. You can't put together a fake black kingdom? It's all a bunch of BS. All right, anyway. Let's go to RoboCop. The RoboCop reboot finally made it to the net. There's some changes to the story that I like, but you know, we're talking about 20-something years, like, what, 26 years since the last one, the first one in 87? I mean, this is the problem with sci-fi and actual science, is that science starts to catch up. And creating a cyborg that looks like that doesn't ring real to me. I mean, the only change they made, and you saw that in the trailer, is they painted him black. I mean, you know, a cyborg wouldn't really – I mean, the reality is this cyborg has so much – he has his own mentality for the moment, and his wife knows. See, here's another thing. They tell you too much. Because I remember the last one. The last one, it was basically – he was property of Omnicorp in conjunction with the police, so he couldn't go back to his old life. You see that he's gone back to his old life. They say, okay, he's jacked up, but we're gonna keep him alive in this uniform. But for a uniform that has that much mobility, ladies and gentlemen, if a uniform has that much mobility, they could have made something that was more human-like than put. And it's ridiculous. It's dumb. What are your thoughts on this reboot? If you're gonna do a reboot like BSG was done, Battlestar Galactica. Battlestar Galactica was so far removed from the Lorne Greene version that it was interesting. They should have gone in a whole different direction with this RoboCop thing. What are your thoughts, Daryl?
I will say this. I'm talking to coworkers the other day about it. They were all over it, and I was like, all right, I hope you retain this after you've seen it, because to me, this looks like Total Recall. Not Total Recall, the Schwarzenegger one, but Total Recall, the Colin Farrell one, where you're trying to put in all these special effects, where you're trying to pull in all of this, and the changes in the plot, other people that remember the first one will go, well, that's cool, that's cool. And I'll be like screaming, gripping the seats like, why did you change that? He's already changed. They're making it seem like he still has a normal life. That was the underlying theme of the first one. He can't be normal again. The thing that programming they put in was his human emotions coming through the programming, his longing to be with his wife again. If you change that, and I don't know how many times I say it, if you change the root of the character in the story, then you change the story. See my argument against Dark Knight with the Joker. See my argument with Amazing Spider-Man with the slack of Peter Parker. You change the fundamental elements. Now, let's see how they may pull this off. I may be hating over nothing. But once you reveal that in the trailer, the old-time RoboCop fans that know the plot just went, what the heck are you doing? Cap, balls, milk cart.
Well, to me, the best part of this, when I looked at the trailer, was the fact that I got to see Michael Keaton. You got Samuel Jackson, and you got a few other great actors in it. There's great actors, so because maybe there's great actors, people may come out and see it. Number one, that's number one. Number two, you're not going to outdo the first movie. The first RoboCop was a great movie. I don't care what anybody says. It was a great movie, first RoboCop. You're not outdoing it. So they're thinking more or less, let's use the same elements, a lot of the same elements, but let's slightly change the story to say that this RoboCop is a little bit different. One of the big things with RoboCop, as the great Afro-Nerd justly says, he was separated from his family. There was no going back to the old life. So it made sense what he was doing. That's kind of like him getting his revenge on the whole world because of what happened to him, you know, the situation that happened to him. My opinion, in my opinion, what they should have done with this, they should have just made a whole different super-powered human body. We've seen this in different type of sci-fi, you know, movies, you know, and also in comic books. You make, it just looks exactly human, and then you download his awareness and put it into that body. And then you turn around and make this. This is now your quote-unquote RoboCop or SuperCop, so to speak. That takes it into a different direction. You know, that takes it into a different direction. But you keep him disconnected from the family, because then that makes the rage also at the same time. You know, you figure it out through the storyline. And then that makes you also feel a lot more for the character, because you could put yourself in that situation if you became disconnected from your loved ones and there's no going back. That's just my opinion. So I just think at this given point, you have great actors in this, from what they showed, great actors, that this movie would just be okay. It's going to be a so-so movie, but I will go ahead and go see it based on what I already see. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
And quickly, yeah. and that also brings up the question, who am I? Am I the man or am I the machine? Great point, Cap. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, well, the thing about the original RoboCop, which made it a, you know, to this day, it's considered a classic. I don't know about the sequels, but the original RoboCop, it was made, you forget, it was made toward the tail end of the Reagan era. So it was all about the corporate, what corporations will end up being, that the government will be a corporatized one, which, you know, we may be seeing that even to this day. But now, this movie, the way it's made, I mean, it's essentially what Captain talks about all the time. Well, they just keep on giving you the same gruel as an audience. They just, you know, they just kind of move some pieces around, but it's the same crap we saw in 87. Not that 87 was crap, but you can't give us the same thing. They're giving us the same thing. Why would I want to see this new RoboCop if it's essentially the same as the old RoboCop? The whole thing is creativity, and, you know, there's a whole thing about, a matter of fact, on our our Afro Nerd Facebook page, I put a link toward Mario Joyner. Mario Joyner is a local comedian, and he's got this Kickstarter campaign where he's proposing a movie that deals with the ideas of sequels. In other words, the premise of his movie is that at some point Hollywood is eating on itself because they will have remade everything. They will have rebooted and created sequels, you know, to death, where there's no more breathing room. And it's kind of where we're at now, that you have 2, 3, 4, 5 iterations of a movie. You have reboots. No one's doing anything original. And if you're going to do a reboot, be original about it. BSG, you know, the TV sci-fi network version of BSG, was radically different than the original Lorne Greene version of it. Why they didn't go in that direction with this one, I don't know. They just changed a couple of – they just moved a couple of pieces. They didn't really see anything – I didn't really see anything that was really impressive, except the cast. We see that the original Batman is there, Michael Keaton, as Captain talked about, and Samuel Jackson. So, I mean, you know – oh, listen, my complaint is that maybe I will see this thing. I guess that's what – it doesn't matter. The geeks are going to see it because we're on drugs. That's it. We're going to see it anyway and then complain about it.
Yeah, we got to hate somehow.
We got about a minute and a half. Dal, did you see, before we go to next door for Afro Future Captain Kirk, did you see Riddick?
No, I see it Monday. So I'll have a review ready for next week. But I was at the point, and a coworker brought this up. Why are we going back seemingly to the beginning of this? Wasn't he a king when we left off? And I was like, yeah. And he goes like, man, they did Riddick just like they did T'Challa. And I went like, you got it in one. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
I think Pitch Black was a decent film. But the second one went somewhere. I mean, because the first film, Vin Diesel's character was really an anti-hero. He was kind of a side guy. He really wasn't the main guy. Be that as it may, seconds are remaining. Dal, as always, we appreciate your support. We'll have more.
Enjoy,
time.
Folks.
We'll get into this next week. Next up, Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Hold on, folks. We'll be right back. Hopefully, the things engage in time. gotta love Blog Talk. Momentarily, any time now, folks. Okay, here we go.
Spock with a beard?
I think not.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. No one? He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods. The word lynching came from his last name. His methods were very simple, but they were diabolical. Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master. Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind. Because obviously you have lost it.
Really, yeah. Beloved.
here gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deepak, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening once again, ladies and gentlemen. This is the second half of our Grindhouse show. This is Afronerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Afronerd Radio. Folks, please accept our apologies for the sluggishness, but our boards, for some reason, are moving in a sluggish manner. Nevertheless, the show must still go on. The call-in number is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Feel free to buzz on in. Give us your questions, your protestations, your thoughts, or even if you disagree with us, that's okay. We can handle the heat. Let's go to a quick urban alternative groove. That's what we're trying to do here. That is the brand, giving you black rock, urban alternative, jazz, funk, progressive hip-hop. Everything that conventional radio refuses to play, we will play it here at Afronerd Radio. This is a young lady I have a great deal of respect for. I like how she presents herself. She is the great Janelle Monae. She has a new album coming out. It might have just been released this week, actually, called Electric Lady. Highly anticipated album. And I got my hands on it, and I can say sincerely I am impressed. And she comes from the Afro-punk scene, and she's something different. She keeps her clothes on. And listen, I'm a red-blooded guy. And I saw some video of her. I think she was in Queen, and she does have a physique on her. Sometimes I can take back my reptilian mind and appreciate a woman who keeps her clothes on. I don't always want to see the clothes off all the time. Let's see the talent. So, without further ado, this is a cut with another artist I have a great deal of admiration for, Prince. This is Prince and Janelle Monae giving them what they love. Let's get into it. Let's try to groove with the sluggishness. Again, giving them what they love, Janelle Monae and his royal badness. Let's get to it. Hopefully. Anytime now. Oh, boy. Okay, here we go.
I made a laser.
Okay, folks, I wanted to let that ride a little bit because I really dig that jam. Again, giving them what they love, the latest from the Electric Lady MP3. I don't think they make CDs anymore. that is Janelle Monáe's latest with a friend, His Royal Badness Prince. Folks, this is Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Speaking of the captain, you are needed on the bridge. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Okay, let me just share this with you very quick. I'll be brief, Sir Afanor, very brief. Touring this week, after the business day, I decided to stop at a bar in the city. You know, after the business day, this is what people do from time to time. I do this from time to time. So I sat down. I had three drinks in me at this given point. I wasn't really going to go over four anyway, because, you know, you got to go home, you know. So I'm there talking with this young black woman, about 26, rather attractive, just throwing around, you know, regular foolish talk. And then there was a white woman on the makeshift dance floor, because they really didn't have a dance floor, but she was dancing and she was dropping it like it was hot. And her coworkers were gathered around her. They were gathering around her, and they were like throwing dollars at her, and they were laughing it off. And then the black girl turns to me and says, "Look at her, acting like she's black." I said, "Oh, really? Look at your hair." Keep in mind, I got liquor in my system. "Oh, really? So look at your hair. That weave, you acting like you white. If looks could kill, my friends, I was a dead man." She rolled her eyes at me, and she just walked off. She went to the bathroom, then she left the spot. It was amazing. I just had to share that with you. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, the funny thing about that, we're going to get into that a little bit, somewhat. I have to do a part two on the show, Underwood Thane, Captain, only to make a point. It's really less about her, are more about what's going on mentally beyond Cheryl Underwood. Maybe Cheryl Underwood, like Don Imus, maybe she has to be given a pass now too, because it's a lot bigger than these two people. It's so much bigger than these two. It's so deeply embedded in the culture. The fact that this young lady you just spoke about was so comfortable in ascribing blackness simply because this white female is dancing, it's part of the general culture now. I don't know. First of all, I don't know if I would want to own that as a black thing. Because I have been in multiracial environments, and I've seen women of all ethnicities, but let's say white women, that can dance. It's gotten to that point. I've seen them dance, and they have shapely rears now. You can buy them. You know, you can buy them, or you get on the treadmill. There's a way to produce that. I have my own ingredients, Captain, you know, that I talk about behind the scenes. Squats, cornbread, greens, maybe midnight Bible meetings with yours truly, and we can work this out. I'm just saying, there's a way to produce a protruding, well-sculptured buttocks. It's not just. It's a new age. It's the 21st century. And black folk and white folk and all ethnicities are going to have to become more accustomed to these kind of things. You have a black golfer, and you have a top black golfer, and you have a top white hip-hop artist. It's what's going on now. You have Justin Timberlake is essentially doing a black R&B groove. He's one of the top guys. That's where we're at now. This is Dr. King's dream in a way. The culture has merged, and she's talking about she's acting black. I'm glad she's acting black and you're not. I don't know if I would want her to be. I would have kicked it like that. So I don't know if I would want you to be acting like the stereotypical person, the stereotypical woman of color, flexing your buttocks muscles. I don't know if I want to see that. Well, I would, but not under those circumstances. Unnecessary. It's unnecessary. I play rock music here, Captain. We just heard rock music by, not only rock music, but psychedelic soul is another name for black rock from the 60s. I'm learning new stuff all the time. Under normal circumstances, Janelle Monáe and Prince should not be doing what they're doing, but they're doing it. There's no rules to this stuff anymore. I don't know why she was so – and you told her appropriately. The truth hurts so much, Captain, they have to run away.
Yeah.
That's what that was really about. All right, so anyway, the last show, ladies and gentlemen, I spoke about comedian, actress, talk show host, Sheryl Underwood, and she went on to this riff. It's kind of come and gone already because we deal with 24-hour news cycles. She was able to do her apology. It's already kind of dissipating into the ethosphere even as we speak. It's just dissipating. So anyway, but I'm hearing other podcasts, other shows that are able to look at what black culture is producing, and they're able to deconstruct it. And because these may be white folk, and I'm not into always racializing everything, I'm just on this kick for the moment. But they're able to deconstruct some of this black culture, and we're not going to be able to get underneath it or get from underneath it, Captain. Twofold thing. I got to mention this. I wish I mentioned it the last show. Ms. Underwood was so disparaging of black hair texture. And I forgot to mention that we will probably see a new mayor, Mayor Bill de Blasio, perhaps. He's number one right now. Anthony Weiner was there for like a minute until his internet shenanigans became more well known. He was number one. It looks like the public was about to forgive him, but he could not stay away from that video camera, that internet video camera. So anyway, couldn't stay away. So now we have Bill de Blasio, whose family represents the modern family. Mr. de Blasio is black. I'm sorry, white. Pardon me. Mr. de Blasio was white. His wife is black. And he has multiracial children. And he has his son front and center with a huge afro. And people cannot stay away from his afro. And you can go to YouTube and you see this fairly popular campaign ad where his son is just the one doing the speaking. Looking at his son looks like any other child of color or a young man of color until he reveals that, by the way, Bill de Blasio is my father. And he's got this huge Jackson 5 circa 1972 afro. So I said, I'd be damned. That nasty, nappy afro, in quotes, that Sheryl Underwood was so disparaging of, is probably going to walk his son this man into Gracie Mansion coming up in the next few months, undoubtedly, because of that hair. And I would implore Mr. de Blasio to do exactly what Heidi Klum did, put his hair, a lock of his hair, in a baggie and staple it in his office in Gracie Mansion, because that nappy hair is what's going to get him into perhaps one of the most powerful positions in the country, if not the world. Believe it or not, the mayor of New York City is a very powerful position. Probably, if you talk about the top, let's say, 20 positions of power in this country, the mayor of New York would be definitely one of them. Due to this man's son's nappy hair. So we need to do something, Captain. Something has to be done. Something. What do you think about that? You think that's kind of funny?
You see, you laugh.
I'm just saying.
In spite of everything. In spotted everything. Yes. Yes. There you go. There you go, boys.
I see Kim Success says, that is true, Afro Nerd, power to the fro. I think the campaign ad says go with the fro, if I'm not mistaken. So it's just so funny. People like afros, first of all. They just do. It's like a funky, it reminds them of a funky period of time. It's carefree, it's accepting yourself. This kid is comfortable with himself. And his father, I suspect, is telling him, don't you dare cut this thing down.
There you go.
Because it's going to allow me to walk into one of the most powerful positions in this country. I suspect I would write a letter to him personally and say, hey, please take a lock of your son's hair, put it in a baggie. Hell, bring in Heidi Klum's baggie and put them both behind your chair in Gracie Mansion. I'm just saying. Anyway, more on this. I was listening to Opie and Anthony, and I've been on Opie and Anthony before. I didn't interject, but I was listening to one of their shows, and they were talking about T.I.'s show. T.I. and Tiny,
okay,
his wife, they have a show. Captain, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, okay, that's all.
Yeah. So they have a show, and the show had, I guess, you know, they always have these made-up premises. So one of these goofy premises was white for a day. White for a day. Now, perhaps in a correct way, correctly, Opie and Anthony said, well, you know, what happens if were to do a black for a day? It would be a problem, wouldn't it? So, you know, listen, we see how these things work. But this show is another minstrel show. One of the characters on the show, Shekinah, I think is the person's name. Shekinah.
There we go.
I don't make this stuff up. She goes on and on about her desire to be white, as if being white in her mind is the end all be all and my life would be better and blah, 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 blah. And she goes off about like all these attributes that even the white listeners were probably saying, well, I don't live like that. I mean, it's still a stereotype. We're stereotyping each other. But I got to play this clip, Captain. I got to play this clip because this is in the same lane as Cheryl Underwood, and I'm saying we've got to put these minstrels out on their asses. We've got to get rid of these people. This type of representation, we didn't see this representation like this. In the 50s, I mean, we're going back to Amos and Andy days. Matter of fact, the clip, you can go to VH1 if you want to see this particular episode. I think I actually tweeted out the link to this VH1 episode. The participants in this program speak African-American English or Black English, however you want to put that.
Oh,
and
Lord.
It's to the point, Captain, where they need to have subtitles. So let me get this straight. You have people who were born in this country, right? And they need subtitles in order to be understood as if this were some kind of martial arts film. I mean, I saw this done with Lamar Odom, God bless his crack-addled soul, if I'm to believe what they say. When he was on the Kardashians, everyone else in the house, they didn't require a subtitle. This young man needed subtitles. Why, as an American, do you need a subtitle? And why aren't Black folk revolting on this substandard, ghetto-wise, lower tier, low standard, below centigrade culture? Why? Why aren't they revolting? I mean, this is ridiculous. All right. Let's go to the clip with Opie and Anthony deciphering what they're hearing. There's some expletives, folks. This is a uncensored program, so, again, my apologies. I couldn't edit that out, but let's just get to the heart of the matter, and you'll see what I see. It's disturbing. This is the 21st
and he
century.
He went to jail for a little while on the gun charge, and he seems like he's doing all right now, right?
Yeah, he's doing like the family reality show, and he's done some movies,
right?
American Gangster, and some other movies.
But it caught my attention, and I haven't seen the episode yet, but they decided to have White Person Day. And yeah. I thought that was extremely strange because you think immediately, well, you know, you get a bunch of white reality stars, and if they did Black Person Day, you know, there would be...
That's racist.
Hell to pay.
There would be a hullabaloo.
Oof.
About it. So I wanted to, you know, bring a few clips to the show to see what White Person Day was all about with T.I. and Tiny.
Yeah, basically, Tiny's friend, Tiny's T.I.'s wife, and her friend, Shekinah,
oh, boy.
Has decided one of her ambitions is to be white.
Is it bad to say that I would have a tough time hiring anyone named Shekinah?
I don't know why some people don't understand. You know, you look at a job application sometimes, people are going to throw it away. It's just the way it is.
Shekinah. That's why she wants to be white, because so she doesn't have to deal with problems like people throwing away her job applications.
Well, holla. Then fucking...
They still use holla?
Then put Betty on your fucking name.
Betty?
Name's Betty.
Yeah, that's just as
Betty.
Bad. That's just as bad the other way.
Well, why don't we hear it first before we're
sure,
all being,
let's
we're,
do
we're
this.
Being Pete, Paul, and Pierre Prejudge. Why don't we just give it a fucking Larry listen?
Well, Shekinah tells Tiny she wants to be white.
Yes.
I'm in looking in this magazine. I'm just looking at these white people.
What about them?
They live in life.
You've been wanting to be white for a long time now.
White people don't have drama.
Black girls always going through some white people have drama. Britney Spears, she went through.
Hey, Britney back.
She back, guys.
That back.
If I was white, I'd probably be married by now. Because you know the white women train their girls to get out here and get it early in age. I have good hair.
What the
My
fuck
eyes
would
be green.
Say?
She said if she was a white girl, she'd probably be married now. Because white girls are out there. To get it early or something, I couldn't hear the end of it.
Yeah, they're trained to get it.
Get it early.
This is racist.
Well, no, yeah. So far it's very...
I'm offended by this.
It's because, no, it's saying the thing... If you did a black episode, yeah. If you were saying the cool things about black people, it would be allowed.
Oh, okay.
And so far, they're just saying the cool things about white people.
Oh, all right, I gotcha. It's a fine line between genius and stupid. Yes.
Hey, I have good hair. My eyes will be green, you know?
I like Reese Witherspoon. I love the way that she tans and do her thing.
You're black, you don't even have to tan.
I love the way she does yoga. And
you don't have to be white to go do yoga.
And I love the way, you know, the Queen of England sips her tea.
You sound like a crazy person right now.
What the f***?
Because you act like black people don't want to do none of that.
I've been black for 28 years.
You gonna stay black.
If I look the part, I can play the part. You know what I'm saying? So if I start putting myself in those type of environments, I might can play the part. I still want to be me, Shekinah Joe, but a swag on it.
But a what?
A swag on it.
Swag on it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
See, they're saying the cool things.
No, I don't swag on it.
Here's why this would be allowed to be played over and over. Because the white people at VH1 think it's amazing that black people like them. That's all it is.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could say positive things about black people. Like, I want to be black. Oh, why? Well, they got a good rhythm. They,
style.
Style. And, and that would be like, there would be people that would be pissed. Oh, look at you generalizing. Oh, we can't do nothing but dance. Good rhythm.
Well, if you were playing on, like, stereotypes, maybe. Like,
well, stereotypes fucking... What was she doing about white people?
No stereotype. White queen likes to have tea. Like, if you were saying things like whatever it is you like about whatever black celebrity that they do that's not always associated with black people.
Yeah.
Like, sipping tea is like a...
But what if you went to go drink tea saying this is what white people do versus if you went to, I don't know, where would you go?
The club to drink some bub.
Right.
Or some scissors.
Right.
What if we hung out and just drank some
Right.
You know, if you're pronouncing it 100% right.
I know there's a lot of Z's.
Yeah,
it is here. And you slur it up.
All right. Enough of that.
Yo, what was that? Well, here's the ironic thing. Betty is just as bad going the other way. I found that very funny. But anyway, that was bad. That was bad, Sir Afterlander. That was bad, bad.
There's a theme, Captain. There's a theme with your experience with this young lady where she couldn't handle what you said.
Yes.
She couldn't handle that. That's part of the same nonsense.
Yep.
She couldn't handle that. Then we talked about Cheryl Underwood. Now we have another minstrel, another licensed fool that is on TV making money. I couldn't barely understand what they were talking. I couldn't even understand the language. That's another thing. Why the fact that this show, that these folks can't even speak and they have to have subtitles in order to be understood. That within itself, and going back to Kim, our friend Kim, she was talking about, well, I think she said the young lady was doing the white person day because she likes white people. This was not a hate thing. Oh, it's a hate thing. It's a hate thing toward herself. I never said, I didn't want anyone to think that I thought this was racist in the sense that it's racist toward white people. It's racist toward your own folk because you don't feel like you can compete. You don't feel good enough. And in some respects, maybe you're not. In this, from what I see, this representation of a black person, no. You know, look what they said. We said the same thing. You know, now, if someone were to decipher what Opie and Anthony were saying, right, they were saying right off the bat, Shekinah, you know, is it bad to say I would probably not hire a person named Shekinah? Now, we said the same thing before. You know, I'm seeing more and more, more and more black death, Captain. They found, I mentioned the one-year-old that was shot in the head last week in Brooklyn. They found the purse. One of the names is like Laquan or something. You know, the baby's name was Antique, A-N-T-I-Q, pronounced Antique. Antique, one of the perps, his name was Raekwon or Laquan or something like that. One of those names. And there's got to be some – this is why I'm really invested in this show and making it where we can expand it somehow, because someone needs to know that there are a number of black folk that believe – that there are some things going on culturally that aren't, that we're not all riding with. Love or hate Fox? Fox gives the impression that the majority culture is not liberal about everything. And that's okay, to be honest with you. And there needs to be a black version of Fox. Maybe a lot smoother than Fox. I wouldn't be as visceral as Fox. I would be a lot smoother. But at the end of the day, folks need to know. And even those folks that are suffering, they need to know that there's a way, that there's correction and on the horizon. That there's a story that we were supposed to get to last week, Captain, where there was a young lady whose name was Laquita. I believe she's a professional. She's a professional, but her name has hampered her, and she wants to change her name. Now, It's a sad thing when you feel like you have to do that, but there appears to be a reality. She's coming across something, and I applaud her for having some self-awareness, some insight to know and to be self-effacing to say, hey, I got a jacked-up name. Laquita, she says it with the butterball jokes, she started realizing that people are ascribing things to her. Now, she can be so not what someone would perceive a Laquita to be. That's another thing also. You can work hard, and you must work hard not to be or conform to stereotypes. Don't prove people right by your name. But that's a lot of work, and I don't know if you're going to be able to get beyond what folks perceive your name to be. That name is a stamp. It's like tattoos are a stamp. It's a stamp. What are your thoughts on this, Captain?
Let me ask you a question. First, let me put the question to myself. Okay? Let me put the question to myself. Take the blow, take the breath now, Captain. Okay, a Laquita, if you were in charge of hiring and firing in a corporation, would you hire a Laquita? It depends. She would have to come with a very, 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 very strong recommendation, stronger than a person who would probably be named Lisa. That's me being honest. Would you date, Captain, a girl named Laquita? Ah, chances are, if I'm being totally honest, probably not. Probably not. Not seriously. It may try to start out. You know, you're going in, and then he's like, I'm biased, man. I'm biased, and I'm also jaded because there's a few people I've dated with these names, and it's just, That's all I'll say about it. Now, I ask you the same question, Sir Afro Nerd. I ask you the same question.
Captain, please. You know the answer.
No, no. Answer the question. Answer the question for the public. This is good radio. This is great radio.
We have some callers, and we're going to get to the calls, so hold on, folks. We'll get to you in a moment. I've mentioned this many times on the show. I just have an abrasive feeling. I mean, I've been in the company of folk that have these names, and undoubtedly they appear to prove their names. I've been open-minded and say, okay, this person's name is Trikeisha. Let's see what Trikeisha does. I will wait in abeyance, and undoubtedly I've yet to see someone not conform to what I would perceive a Trikeisha or Raekwon to be. I've yet to see that. Now, I'm sure there are exceptions. There's always the rule. Folks, remember, there's the rule and there's the exception. And many times when we have discussions like this, folks who try to deconstruct what we say, they always opt for the exception, never the rule. The rule is the rule is the rule. That means 90% of the time, it's going to go in a certain direction. 10% or less is another way. But we have to talk about the 90, not the 10, because the 90 represents life. So as far as would I hire someone named Lakita, I don't know. Probably not. I would like to think maybe I would be open-minded enough to see just for S and giggles. You know, we have a G-rated, PG-rated show. For S and giggles, let's bring her in and see if she can debunk what I think of her. But you're fighting a downward spiral. You know, you're swimming upstream. You're swimming against the stream with a name like that. And I would hope that in some of these environments, if they would understand that, listen, I understand to maintain a culture. I have no problems with having a quote-unquote black name, but there's a difference between a black name and a street ghetto name, because I don't see these names being connected to excellence. That's another issue, too. If you do a Google search, check out what the algorithms come up with these kinds of names. That's an issue. You know, it's problematic. And would I marry someone or date someone? I don't think so. Doesn't quite fit. I don't know if I want a Lakita in my the passenger seat of my Porsche. I don't think it looks good. Here I am, well coiffed, having left the nail salon. Yeah, I said it. Well coiffed, pony hair shoes, with Prince in the background, Janelle Monáe in the background, or maybe I'll take out my vintage Mustang. She won't even want to get into a car like that. And, you know, why are you driving this old car? There's a whole bunch of things wrapped up in with it, but we're suffering. The babies are dying. They're dying and they're suffering. People aren't getting jobs. We have minstrels, licensed fools. Let's go to the call.
They'll say we're elitist, though. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But go ahead.
Hey, some people are ghetto. Some people, you know what? Some people are ghetto. Some people are elitist. But they're quicker to critique the elitist before they critique the ghetto.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I am elitist. Yeah, I'll admit that. Yeah, sure.
Yep.
Sure.
There you go.
Sure. Because the ghetto person will critique what they consider to be quote unquote bougie. Look at her being bougie because she speaks standard American English, or she's trying to be white. I'm supposed to take that too? A young lady that's refined, she can't be refined? Refinement is only left to the domain of white people? See, we can deconstruct these arguments, Captain. That's the problem. Okay, let's go to the lines. After the lines, we'll go to another groove. 626. Welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from. What are your thoughts? Everything's sluggish on my side, Captain. Can you bring this person in?
Okay, there you go. I Hey, what's up? Yeah. Kobe the Man. Yeah, it's Kobe the Man from Los Angeles. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh,
okay.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. I think that, you know, we got to call it like we see it. You know, we call out the black people on their you know, ghetto mentality. We got to call races out when we see them too. We can't be just one sided on the situation. So you know, you got to look at VH1 and Open and Anthony, just you know, white owned corporations or industries purposely promoting ghetto Negro mentality. VH1
Absolutely.
Is kicking ghetto to the bank. Opie and Anthony, they make their chunk of change off of black hatred by white, white bigots. They make their money. And Cheryl Underwood, you don't have a ghetto name. Cheryl Underwood, she's just as ghetto as anybody else, and she got an acceptable name. These white corporations know what they're doing when they put these minstrels on TV. When they put Cheryl Underwood, they know what she's gonna say. When they put Tiny and T.I. on TV, they know what they're gonna say. They're promoting. They want to install into the head to the Opie and Anthony audience, this middle America out there. They want to put into their head that this is what a Shaniqua sounds like, and this is what a whatever it sounds like. So it's repetitive in your head. Get that ingrained. So then when Open Anthony, when they first said what the first thing they said was, when I see that person, I'm not going to hire them. Or when I see that name. That's ingrained through their culture. VH1 promotes that. Whoever hires Cheryl Underwood promotes that. And, of course, Open Anthony taking it to the bank. So we just got to call it like we see it.
Well, Kavina, listen, I agree with you. And we talk – listen, this is why we have a show called Afro-Nerd. Why can't Afro-Nerd – you know, why can't we position this show on Sirius? See, Sirius will hire licensed fools, court jesters. But if you put an intelligent show on there, it all of a sudden it becomes like some kind of mystery. Black people that can speak standard American English for some reason, it shows the other side. It's always a difficult endeavor. But to put clowns on clowns will always get a break, and I'm sick of it. Do you know how many shows we've seen that are on the same theme as T.I. and Tiny? You know, the Basketball Wives, the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I mean, there's maybe 20 shows in the air that have the same ghetto-wise theme, and I'm saying, you know what? If they want to have this, whatever. But why can't we have the balance? We just spoke about CV Nation, an intelligent sci-fi black superhero or minority-themed superhero show. That would be a harder sell. But always, always selling the minstrel, that is not only problematic, it's insulting. And why we're not seeing more people really taking it to these corporations, really taking it to these creative people and telling them, listen, you have to stop insulting us. Look what Russell Simmons tried to do. Look what's
Absolutely.
Going on. Look what's going on. You know, the minute that people talk about Paula Deen, that's one issue. But the other side of the issue is you have Russell Simmons, after getting his ass handed to him by CNN's Don Lemon, could not deconstruct Don Lemon. Don Lemon was able to break him down, and within minutes or days, he comes out with this sex tape on one of our greatest African American historical figures. You have who's the other person? Lil Wayne making fun, not even fun, just completely obliterating one of the greatest civil rights victims. Emmett Till. And this goes on, you know, it's just another day. It's a 24-hour news cycle, but we have to go into what that really means. This is why babies are literally, I can't just say babies as a euphemism. I mean, literally infants are dying and they're being devalued. And you have minstrels saying that black hair is nasty. While the white man with the black child uses that nasty, nappy hair, in quotes, to walk into Gracie Mansion in New York City. So how nasty and nappy is the hair, really? This is what I'm confused about. They don't want me on. They don't want me or the captain on terrestrial radio because it would be quite unsettling. Because I would be laying waste to all these folks. The minstrels and the racists alike would be crying, putting their heads in their laps, Captain. I would be putting so much fire on their butts, they'd be running like children. Trust me on that. Kavina, we got to go to a quick musical groove.
All right, bro.
Continue listening to us, man. Continue spreading the word. Times are changing, man. Afropunk is here. Stop with the minstrel music. I'm tired of insulting black African artists. There are other artists doing the real thing. I saw it 2 weeks ago. We got to stop the shenanigans. I don't know why it continues. All right, folks, that's me being passionate. Anyway, all right, more urban alternative groove, if I can get to it. Now it seems like when it gets heavy, Captain, why does the system start to break down? What is that?
They're going against us. That's what it is.
I can't say the man because Obama's the man. All right, hold on. All right, this is, I'm going to go in a different direction. This is Walk Us Uptown. Walk Us Uptown. Elvis Costello and the Roots. Again, legendary hip-hop band, the Roots, made an album with Elvis Costello, and no one knows about it except for me and the captain. This is troubling. As I wait for this to engage, the music to engage, Captain. Again, Walk Us Uptown, Elvis Costello and the Roots, two legends, minds getting together, great music. Let's get to it.
Cause we must
All right. That was The Roots. And, of course, Elvis Costello, Walking Uptown, Walk You Uptown. Folks, this is Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk giving you the best of urban alternative, black rock, acid jazz, progressive hip-hop, afro-punk, you name it, we'll play it, something that conventional radio will not play. And again, this is a new album, and you know, years ago, this is the thing that's missing about, that's depressing about music, Captain, today's music, is that a collaboration like that would be making a lot more noise. But now that music is so ethereal now, you can download it for free, or you're supposed to download it and pay money, but let's say there are folks out here downloading for free, it's making things just, you know, very easy. But if you had an actual record store like you did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where you would have to go in, you'd have to meet people, you'd have to buy the physical product, you know, someone physically would tell you, hey, listen, I found out something new. It was more of a communal experience buying music back then. Now, you know, you're really in your own head when you listen to music. You know, you really can't listen to the real deal on conventional radio. They're not really playing music that is insightful or music that is challenging. They don't do that anymore. They just, you know, it's just crap. So we're trying to bring that back, but unfortunately, you know, if I heard that there was a few years ago some collaboration between Elvis Costello and The Roots, that would have blown my mind. I think a few years back, The Roots also worked with Al Green. They had an album. They worked with a few legends. You know, this is not being put on conventional radio. It's not even being mentioned. Even radio used to talk about collaborations. They don't. It's just crap. Crap and minstrelsy. That's it. All right. For the Blue Area segment, we got about 9 minutes remaining. I didn't get a chance to talk about this. A young man I'm extremely proud of. And this goes back to what needs to be promoted. Even on the internet tip, there's something that we're working on behind the scenes. I can't get into too much detail. But let's just say that there needs to be some way to actively promote excellence. It cannot be. I mean, when I talk about a minstrel industry, I think folks think I'm kind of sort of kidding around or, oh, it's funny for him to use the word minstrel. But it's a real industry. Just like steel and the auto industry are real industries, the minstrel industry is a real one. But if there's a black intelligence or black intelligentsia industry, it's not perceived in the same way. It's not promoted. Imagine what would happen, Captain, if we actively promoted black excellence. And this is a young man, Carson Huey Yu, man of African descent, young man, 11 years old, a genius, youngest ever student to be enrolled at Texas Christian University. He says that he's looking forward to getting his PhD by the time he's 20. And he had an extremely high SAT score. And the bottom line is, you know, listen, I think it says here that Carson, it seems to be a family affair. Carson's 7-year-old brother, Kanan, is already doing schoolwork at an 8th grade level. At seven. Now, what's going on? Yeah, 1770 SAT score. It says he spoke Mandarin and played Beethoven on the piano. That was his admission interview. So how can – there's something else going on here, Captain. If you have – it's one thing to have one child in the family be considered as a genius. How do we have two? Now, his 7-year-old brother is already at an 8th grade level. How does that happen? Now, we know – we can talk about DNA, but there's got to be something else going on here as well. Can it be replicated?
Yeah, of course. To a certain extent, it's DNA and environment. That's what makes the individuals. It's the biological factors and the environmental factors. And the environmental factors can suppress your biological factors. Obviously, they have both going on there to create those individuals at their peak performance. And we need to see more of this. And it can be replicated to a certain extent. You might not necessarily be able to be a genius, but you can raise your baseline level up so you're not running around like some gormless, feral, menstrual beast.
Do you understand? That's what I'm saying. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, folks, definitely look up Carson Huey U, Texas Christian University student, 11 years old. I just think we need to have. I mean, we're quick to promote a twerking video. Do you understand this, Captain? We will promote a twerking interview, and then wonder why children are getting killed, why we're underperforming. Imagine if we promoted these young people. There's plenty of them. I think there was a 4-year-old that we mentioned, a 4 or 5-year-old that was inducted into Mensa. I think she might be Afro-British, I believe. I think.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
And there's another young lady that we spoke about that ended up becoming a barrister, like the youngest barrister, which is an equivalent of an attorney in England. I thought she was British, but in actuality, she's from Florida and studied in Britain. So we have black success stories, pockets of black success stories all over this world, all over this country specifically, and yet we will actively promote T.I. and Tiny, who are speaking some language I'm unfamiliar with. I would have a better understanding of Klingon than what they said, what they were speaking. It's so bad, I'm repeating myself, but I have to mention this, folks. We have black folk on screen in the 21st century, not the 19th century, or I should say not the early 20th century, but the 21st century, where we have smartphones and we have, you know, multi-terabyte personal computer systems. And in the modern era, we have black minstrels that speak some language, although they're American-born, and they require subtitles, as if it's a foreign language, in their native-born country. And no one is upset. No one says anything. Only you and I are pointing these things out. And I'm confused as to why are we so comfortable. You know what is, Captain? I think we've become comfortable. Some of us have become comfortable with failure and complacency. That's the only thing. This has to be it. Now, I see we have about 4 minutes remaining, and I did want to take on Syria, believe it or not, but in 4 minutes, I don't think I can do that. But I did want to talk about it. We've been neglecting some political talk, and we do that also. I will just say this, just in a nutshell, maybe Captain can even encapsulate even more succinctly. Folks know that I have a conservative bent, but I'm not an ideologue. Whatever makes sense to my ear, I can ride with. Whatever makes sense to my ear, I can ride with. So sometimes something that is more progressive-minded, I will say, okay, that makes sense to me. If it's a conservative thing or being dubbed as a conservative thing, then I can make sense of that. With this Syria deal, as much as I am an admirer, of President Obama and his imagery, I am troubled by this fervor for going to war when, A, I don't perceive that we can really afford it, although it's been of historical note that money comes forward out of war. War can be a money-producing phenomenon. So that might be what's going on there. But we weren't able to go to Rwanda, where that was a civil war, because Rwanda is perceived to not have any natural resources, although the people are resources. But that's another thing. No natural resources, no one cares. Syria has natural resources, and it borders other countries like Israel, like Iran, that are problematic. So it's in a peculiar position geographically. But ultimately, it seems that we're only concerned when there's self-interest as far as some kind of natural resource involved. Whether Obama's in there or not, it's always going to be that same gameplay. I'm sick and tired of people not talking up about it and being real about it. That's why we're going over there, if we go over there. They were gassing Jewish folk in Germany years before we actually were brought into the war by way of bombing. So we're very willing to let people die as long as either we're forced to be put into it or there's some kind of financial gain. I don't know if the morality issue with these folks being gassed, and it's a horror show. It's horrible that Assad has been accused of gassing his own people. But it's not like we haven't been here before. There's death all over the world, and yet we don't seem to be compelled to go to each and every country and police them. Catherine, any thoughts? You got about a minute.
Well, it's not really time to get into it, you know, so I'll talk more about it on Wednesday. We do a longer segment, get into it. I'll chop it up on Syria. But that's about it, you know. Back over to you, sir.
All right. Okay, folks, seconds remaining. It's been a pleasure. Again, thanks for stopping by for our little double feature broadcast. We'll be back on Saturday for that. But for Wednesday, we'll have our midweek and review show. Let's go out on more groove. This is D'Angelo channeling Prince, covering She's Always in My Hair. We will see you again on Wednesday. It's been real as this thing slowly engages. Never stops, Captain. Eventually, any day now, making the donuts. D'Angelo, She's Always in My Hair. Making the donuts. Any day now, engaging. Sooner or later. Okay, here we go.
Ooh, 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 ooh.